In this life, nothing is certain. Well, you have that joke about there being two constants in the universe, death and taxes, right? Of course, the being tax season, we have, that ends in April. We got a couple months. I'm sure some of you have already filled them out, but that's one of those two constants that we have. If we think that something is certain, aside from those two things, I guess, we tend to take it for granted, don't we? If we think something is a certain thing, we take it for granted, usually. In that event, we become lax concerning that particular thing. We talked about marriage a few weeks ago, but let's take our marriages, for example. Do we take our spouses for granted? Sometimes we do, and we shouldn't. We always assume they'll be there to take care of us. And if you have kids, take care of the kids, too. I know my father certainly believed that his wife, my mother, would always be there. And then she wasn't. And so that is something that we do. I'm not sure if he ever took her for granted. Was never inside his mind to know. But that is certainly something that that is a natural tendency for us to do. Do we appreciate our husband, our wife, like we should? There are several reasons why that person might not be there anymore. There could be because of our own negligence. If we're I hinted at the spouse passing away earlier, but perhaps our own negligence is responsible for that. Perhaps we're neglecting the needs of our spouse. Marriages require constant attention to make sure things are good between the two of you. Our Christian life is no different. We must not take our salvation for granted. I mentioned a few weeks ago, we must not rest on our laurels when it comes to evangelism. We must not rest on our laurels when it comes to our own salvation either. And that's the point I think that Paul is trying to make in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Dan had a lesson on Wednesday evening about a little devotional about 1 Corinthians chapter 10, but I wanted to focus on part of that particular chapter here this morning, at least for one of my points. And in that passage, what does Paul say? If anyone think he stand, take heed, lest he fall. If anyone thinks that he stands, take heed, lest he fall. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll look at that in our first point. I do have three points that we're going to look at. The first one, of course, take heed, lest you fall, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. We are also going to look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, take heed to all the flock, and 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, take heed to the doctrine. The title of this lesson is to take heed. We've got to listen up, pay attention to what is being said in lessons like these. Therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. All three of these passages are about the importance of taking heed to ourselves. Here, in this particular passage, we see the danger of thinking that we're okay with God, complacent with our salvation. Let us not take it for granted. You know, sin tends to sneak up on us, doesn't it? It tends to just, you're not looking for it, but then it's there. We get caught up in sin. But it rarely ever happens all at once, does it? C.S. Lewis wrote, "Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts." There are no warnings often for the road to hell. It is a gradual one. So Paul's exhortation here is to take heed, be careful about this sort of thing. Paul says all this in the context, as we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, of Old Testament examples. It's one of the reasons why we study the Old Testament so that we can have the examples that are presented there for us and to learn from them. And in fact, that's the point that Paul makes here. The word therefore is used in this passage in chapter 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. So we've got to look at the passage beforehand to see what context Paul is addressing these things. These things happen to them as examples. Verse 11. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. These things were written to admonish us, to warn us, to make sure that we are on the right path. These were the events, looking at chapter 10, verses 6 through 10. Now, these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Make sure that we don't lust. We don't desire things, covet things that we should not have. And do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Let us make sure. I think I had that in a sermon a few weeks back. We must not succumb to idolatry. Now, we might think, oh, we don't, but you know what I mean. We must make sure that we are focusing on God, and He is the center of our attention for all things. Verse 8, nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. 23,000 people died in a plague in the thing that Paul is referencing here in Numbers chapter 25, I believe. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. In that particular passage, they were complaining about their situation, and serpents came in and bit many of them, and many of them died until the Lord provided a way for them to be healed of their poison and for the snakes to be driven out. Verse 10, nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Remember, all these things happened as examples so that we can understand what they went through and either avoid the pitfalls that they fell into, or follow the good examples that many of them did have. All these things that are mentioned here are, of course, negative examples so that we can avoid them. And typically, if you're reading the Old Testament, it doesn't take long for you to find a negative example. David, he was a man after God's own heart, but he certainly wasn't a perfect man. He may have been one of the best men that we read about in the Old Testament, but he was by no means perfect. And we can learn from his failure so that we are more likely to succeed. Studying these things will help us to take heed and to steer clear of sin. Verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You see, temptation is not some new thing. Your temptation, in fact, any temptations that you face, it's not some new thing. There may be new ways in order to access certain things. Pornography, for instance, it's easier to access than it has been in time past, but that is something that is still an old temptation. That's the temptation of lust. We need to avoid such temptations. This reminds me of what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, a constant refrain throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, that there is nothing new under the sun. While we might have new things that come up here or there, all the principles, you know, the Bible is a timeless book. The Bible is a timeless book. Anything that mankind can think up that could be considered sinful, there are principles in Scripture to deal with it. There are principles in Scripture to deal with it. And so and that's where studying comes in, to understand where we can do what's right. Sins may be new and different because we are creative sinners, but the underlying principles have always been there. Always remember Verse 13, that God is faithful and he will always provide a way of escape that you may be able to avoid sin. He always will provide that way. Sometimes we might think that there is just no way out, that we are stuck in this sin and there's no way for us to turn things around. But there is always a way. God promises us this. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, by no means. For some sins, they're so ingrained in ourselves that it's difficult to get rid of them. It's difficult to abandon them. But there's always going to be that way of escape so that we can bear the temptation. You, however, must be diligent to seek that way and to take it. Remember the title, Take Heed. Pay attention. Take care of yourself. Second point, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Let's turn there. This is a fairly common passage that we often turn to, particularly when it comes to the eldership. And in fact, that's what we are going to talk about here at the moment. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. This particular passage is in the context of Paul's last address to the elders of the church in Ephesus. He is traveling back through the area. He does not enter into Ephesus, and there are possible reasons for that. Perhaps he doesn't want to. He's worried about the riots that were happening in the previous chapter, and he didn't want to be delayed for that. It does say that he's trying to get back to Jerusalem by a certain time. And so that could be he's trying to make sure that he's on schedule for his timeline, for what he wants to do. But here we see that he is speaking to these elders of Ephesus, of the church in Ephesus, in the small town of Miletus. And he says in chapter 20, verse 28, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Now, there are a lot of applications we can take from this particular passage. But in terms of the eldership, the elders here in this passage, we see that they are to take heed to themselves, right? That's the first point that's mentioned here. Take heed to yourselves. As we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, if anyone stand, take heed lest he fall. That talks about elders too. Elders can make mistakes. Elders can fall away. Hopefully that doesn't happen. It's much less likely to happen because they are, at least ideally, they are to be grounded in the faith. But it can. If an elder can fall, are we any better, the rest of us? No, certainly not. Certainly not. The same rules apply to them as to all of us. Elders also are to take heed of the flock, of all the flock. They are to serve as overseers of a particular flock. That particular word there is episkopos, is to oversee, to look over what's going on in this particular flock, in this local church. And he says there in that passage, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. So among that flock, among the people in that congregation, the Holy Spirit has made these particular men that Paul is addressing overseers, elders, shepherds in the church there in Ephesus, among which this is a local congregation that's being talked about here. This isn't some overarching archdiocese, archbishop, you know, interesting things that some denominations come up with. This is only for the local church. They are to be careful concerning the souls under their care. And it says here that the Holy Spirit himself has set them up as elders. And we might ask, well, has the Holy Spirit set our elders up, appointed them in our congregation? if they meet the qualifications that are presented by the Holy Spirit in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1, then the Holy Spirit has appointed them as elders. Indirectly, sure, but still has appointed them. The church, you see, belongs to God. It belongs to Christ. It says here in the end of this passage that Christ, that the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood, it belongs to him. You see, all three parts of the Godhead had a role in this. The church belongs to God, and the Christ purchased it with his own blood. It emphasizes how careful the elders must be in taking heed to the flock. What's the application for the rest of us? We've got two elders here. I'm not preaching just to them. I'm preaching to everybody here. So what is the application then that the rest of us can take from this? Well, first off, it lets us know what the elder's task is. Not only that, but how difficult the elder's task is. You think they've got to take care of themselves, and you know, you might be thinking, oh man, I've got to take care of myself and make sure that I'm okay. And if you're a husband or father, you got to take care of your family too. Make sure that you're taking care of them and them spiritually. But you've also got to take care of yourself. And how, you know, that's just a few people. Can you imagine a congregation of, we had 39 last week. Can you imagine a congregation like that? Taking care of the flock. What we ought to do, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, we need to be gracious and understanding concerning what they must do. That verse says, Hebrews 13, 17, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. That tells us, that's talking to elders as well as it is to us. Elders, their job description is to watch out for our souls. And for us, the rest of us, we're being told that's what they're doing. And it says then, as those who must give account. It's kind of scary, isn't it? If you're an elder, you got to give account for those in your flock. Continuing on. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Let them do so with joy. In other words, don't be like the children of Israel when Moses is trying to get them to do what they need to do. Do you remember the passage? I think it's in Numbers 11, perhaps around there somewhere, maybe a little later. Where certain elders are appointed over the Israelites. And the reason is because the people are complaining so much. And Moses is despairing of his life. Moses says, why don't you just kill me now? I didn't birth these people. These aren't my children. Why don't you just let me die? And I can be taken care of. That can be taken care of. Because the people were such a grief upon him. They were not serving. They were not Moses wasn't serving with joy. So for the rest of us, let us be a joy to our elders. When the thought of us comes to mind in the mind of our elders, they need to think, it's a great guy. That's a great person. They need to think, man, what joy. I'm so glad that they are doing what they need to do. I am so glad that they're listening to the admonitions that we are giving to them. I'm so glad that they are willing to listen, that they are being submissive, that they are being humble. I'm so glad that they are doing what they need to do. Now, that doesn't mean that the rest of us are going to be perfect. We're not elders. But it does mean we're going to listen to the admonitions that they give to us. And we're not going to pitch a fit. We're not going to argue with them. We will be submissive. and do as they ask. Now, assuming, of course, our elders are have done what they need to do, taking heed to themselves, making sure that they are in line with the scriptures, because we do have a higher authority than the elders themselves. We have the authority of Christ. And if they tell us to do something, there's that timeless principle, that one verse in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than man. So if they tell us to do something that's against what the scriptures say, we're under no obligation to obey it. But if they do tell us something that is in line with scriptures, the wise course of action, then we need to obey. We need to obey and be submissive to them. You know, we're often very private people, especially concerning matters of spirituality, matters of religion and morality. We might even get upset or defensive when we feel like someone is trying to pry into those areas. But we are commanded to submit ourselves to one another in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. And also in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. And we are also to submit to our elders. They're just watching out for our souls. They're not trying to pry to get personal information and dirt on you. They're trying to make sure that you are where you need to be. They are watching out for your souls. So let them. Let them. Their job is to do everything they can to get this flock to heaven. That includes guarding the flock against, as we read later on in Acts chapter 20, 29 and verse 30, "For I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves." This includes guarding the flock against the savage wolves that may come up. "These wolves came in from among them," it says in this passage, "tearing the congregation apart." This could be with false doctrines. This could be with immorality. Have you ever seen a church torn apart because of gossip? Could be because of gossip. All three of which could rip and tear a congregation apart. Savage wolves coming in. The job of the eldership is to prevent things like that from happening. Bottom line, let them do their job. Next, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. We're going to turn the attention to me now. First Timothy chapter 4. If you're not familiar with 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus are letters that are written to preachers. Paul is writing to these young men about certain aspects of the ministry that they are to be prepared for and preparing them for these things. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul says, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you." So, again, this is in the context of a letter written to a preacher. His first responsibility, as we saw for the elders, is to take heed to himself. Just like the elders, just like the rest of us, we all need to make sure that we are where we need to be. Elders, preachers, everybody needs to make sure that we are where we need to be. His role as the preacher is also to take heed to the doctrine. Now, doctrine is just a fancy word for teaching. Making sure that the teachings that are being taught are in accordance with God's word. That they are where they need to be. For Timothy, this is the doctrine that he heard from Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. "And the things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who may be able to teach others also." So Paul Timothy heard the doctrine from Paul himself that he is taking heed to, that he is listening to, that he is carefully treating. These teachings, according to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, these teachings we have written down in Scripture. That passage tells us how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read the mystery, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. We have the capability of understanding the mystery of Christ when we read and study the writings of Paul. And we can extend that to the rest of the scriptures as well. Read and understand what Peter understood of the gospel when we read the writings of Peter, of John, of Luke, of all these other folk, of all these other people who are inspired by the Holy Spirit. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6 says that if you instruct the brethren in these things, in the doctrine that you have been taught from Paul and for us that we get from the scriptures, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister, we might say servant, of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. Which you have carefully followed. We've got to carefully follow the doctrine of God, don't we? The teachings that we see in the scriptures. Carefully following them. Taking heed to yourself and to the doctrine. What you have been taught from Paul, for us, for the scriptures. And in doing so, we become a good minister. If he does not, if I do not, I'll make this more personal, then the elders are well within their rights to address this with him, to address this with me. So if there's anything that I'm saying that's not quite right, they're well within their rights to tell me about it, to make sure that we are teaching things that are scriptural. He uses his example. The preacher uses his example and doctrine to save both himself and those who hear him. You know, I love the doctrine that you can't do anything to, I say love sarcastically, the doctrine that you can't do anything to be saved. Now, that's a doctrine some people have. But if that were a true doctrine, nowhere in Scripture would you find the phrase, save yourselves. And yet, it is right here, in Scripture. You will save both yourself and those who hear you. So, we are to use our example as ministers to save others. We see in 1 Timothy chapter 4, a few verses before in verse 12, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. We are to be an example to those around us. And Paul himself says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. So if I'm doing something I'm not supposed to do, don't imitate me. If I'm not imitating Christ in a particular attitude or particular behavior, don't imitate me. We have one head to our church, and that is Christ. Amen. Not our elders, not me, just Christ. We've talked about in classes before that the Lord allows others to take stewardship of the things that belong to him. And that is what the elders do. They have taken the stewardship of the congregation here. And we note in 1 Corinthians 4, I believe, that as a preacher, I take stewardship of the Word of God. Now, that doesn't mean that I have authority more than the elders. It means that I have the ability to preach to others, and that I need to be careful of what I teach, because I don't want to lead others astray, least of all our elders. Least of all our elders. How will we Well, how will being careful with a doctrine save other people? How will being careful with a doctrine save other people? You know, it is used in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It is used to make man, to make the man of God complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Remember that passage, of course? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The doctrine that we see here, if taught and taught accurately and taught well, can equip, thoroughly equip us all for every good work. That is an immense responsibility. But it's a responsibility that we see in scriptures that we, that some people must take on. We could potentially twist scriptures, however, and lead others astray, even in eldership. That's possible. That happens. You know, there are some some congregations, they've got to be very careful whenever they hire a minister. Because if a minister happens to be teaching falsely, they're not going to do so immediately, right? They are going to do so little by little, convincing the congregation, convincing the eldership to go a certain way that's not right. And many of them succeed, and that's unfortunate. So an eldership must be careful to make sure that they hire the right minister. I have no intentions of going anywhere. Because it sounds like I'm trying to teach them and tell them they got to be careful. But in the future, of course, that needs to be a consideration. And I hope they took all those considerations when they asked me to be here. Since this applies to ministers, what can the rest of us take from it? What can the rest of us take from this section here? Well, first off, of course, you have a better idea of what the job of a minister is. Second, you can now recognize that his goal, that my goal, is not only to save the souls of others, in terms of an evangelist, save those who are outside, but to make sure that your souls are looked after as well. You know, that's not only the elder's job, but my job too. Of course, I work under their leadership. Ultimately, however, your soul salvation is up to you. We all have a degree of personal responsibility for our own souls. We've got to take care of ourselves. Take heed to yourselves, or take heed lest you fall, right? Got to make sure that we all take heed lest we fall. But the minister and the elders are doing everything that we can to help facilitate your spiritual growth and salvation, to make sure that you are, we talked about earlier, that we can in the class, where we cultivate an environment where the Word of God can grow, where the seed is planted, the seed is watered, God gives the increase. It is our job to cultivate that environment to make sure that seed grows. And that is our job as the elders and the minister here to do just that, to make sure that we are in that kind of environment, to make sure that our own salvation is on more sure footing. So, if we are all fulfilling these obligations, help us by heeding these words in the light of Scripture. Don't just listen to me blindly. Don't just listen to the elders blindly. But make sure that there is a scriptural reasoning behind these things. Listen to us and examine your own life to see if you are doing what you need to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5 says, to examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. Let's make sure that we can examine ourselves. Examine ourselves daily. Make sure every day that we are where we need to be. Test ourselves. Make sure that our souls are on sure footing. Finally, By way of conclusion, we need to take heed. We need to take heed. We need to be careful. This is a very important concept in our faith. If we do not take heed, we may fall. If anyone stand, take heed, lest he fall. We may fall from grace. That is a possibility. Let us make sure we are where we need to be. The great thing about having a church family, though, is that we have a support system in the church to help keep us from falling. That's one of the reasons why God instituted the church, so that we can help each other up. There was the thing in the bulletin, I think, was it last week or 2 weeks ago, where this is why we pray for one another. If you remember seeing that, where three men are carrying a stick over a over a chasm, over a valley there, and they are going across it, and the first man, he's over thin air, but he's holding onto the stick, and the other two are holding him in place. Then finally he gets to the other side, and the man in the middle, he is dangling over the air, but he's taken care of because the other two are watching his back, and same for the last person. And they were able to make it through that trial, that struggle. It was a great illustration that we had in our bulletin a while back. So let us pray for one another. Let us watch out for one another, look out for one another, to make sure that we are all where we need to be. This support system also includes our elders and our preacher, as we've discussed also. Galatians chapter 6 tells us about this. Galatians 6 verses 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, in any sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, not harshly, but in a spirit of gentleness. You want them to be saved, right? Don't smack them over their head with a Bible. Do so gently. Let them know, hey, this is where we need to go. Will you join us? Will you join us? And then it says, continuing on, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. We got to make sure that we don't fall into the same sin that the other guy's falling into. And that is certainly a possibility, especially if it's a temptation that you might struggle with as well. And then in verse 2, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know the law of Christ? The first two great commandments, love the Lord your God, and next, love your neighbor as yourself. That's how we show the law of Christ. That's how we show, exercise the law of Christ, as we show love to one another. And we do that by carrying one another's burdens. Our brethren help, but the real power comes or is in the Scriptures, through the examples and the doctrine that is taught there. Let us not hinder the elders in their work to take heed to the flock and to the doctrine. Their goal is to get us all to heaven. And we should respect and even honor that. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Let me leave you with this final exhortation from the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You see, we must walk carefully. That's circumspectly, fancy word of saying, making sure you look where you're going. Walk carefully. Take heed. That's another way of saying take heed. Do so carefully. To do otherwise, he states there, would be foolish. We're told that we must understand what the will of the Lord is. And that journey starts with understanding what we must do to be saved. That's how that journey starts. If you need to be saved this morning, you have that chance. If you want to make sure that your soul is on sure footing, please don't leave here without making that assurance. remember, take heed lest you fall. You don't want to be in that position come judgment day. If you need to be saved this morning, please do so. Come forward when we start singing. Come forward. Make sure that you believe in Jesus. Make sure that you repent of your sins. Make sure that you want to be baptized, that we can do so at this time, making sure that you are where you need to be. And finally, if you've done those things and you just aren't sure, you think you're great, you're a little too complacent with your faith, don't let that be. Don't let that be. Let us help you so that you can be where you need to be. If you have a need, if you want to make something known to us, repent of a sin, and confess that before us, you have that opportunity. We want to help you get to heaven. The elders and I, everybody here wants you to be in heaven. We're behind you. We want to help you. We want to help carry your burdens. Please come forward if you have a need as we stand and as we sing.